So I went to the dermatologist today, you know, checking up on my skin. And I don't know if you know, I asked someone this earlier. I just think that everybody knows that I have a mole on my stomach because it's like pretty prominent. And if you've ever seen me in like a bathing suit or like without a shirt on, you've probably seen it because it's pretty big. So I went to the dermatologist today and I was like, hey, like, you know, is this something I can get removed? Like, what's the deal? And she was like, yeah, we can do it today. I was not prepared.
Whoa.
I was not prepared to lose my mole today, but I did.
Whoa.
And I cried about it afterwards.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's like literally a part of your body that you got removed.
Quite literally. I was quite like, literally. This mole has been on my body my entire life.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
At least now it can't like grow into a weird other shape and start talking to you if you were worried about that.
That wasn't a fear of mine. I actually am sort of hoping that it low-key grows back, just not as big as it was. The only reason I got it removed is because it kept getting caught on like clothes. And so it would like pull a part of the mole and then it would like hurt.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. I would have kept it forever. Like in my family, this is like a thing. Like when I was a kid, I used to call it my mosquito bite. And like my grandpa's like, oh, it's just your mosquito bite, right? Or he would like try to like playfully swat at me like I had a bug on my tummy.
And you feel good about that. That was like a good, fun feeling.
Yeah, core memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a good core memory. It's like a little joke. So now I'm an adult and I got it removed and I'm sad.
Yeah, and now you've and now all of those memories with your grandpa are meaningless and you
They're
have to forget them.
Forever. I like low-key am kind of scared to tell him. Not for real, but like, I don't know. I think I'm like, aw. Like, you know how sometimes when you say something that like makes your grandparents nostalgic or sentimental or sad and you're like, you guys are old, so it makes you sad. I don't know. I cry a lot. Is that obvious? I cry about really stupid shit all the time.
I don't. So. I'm Shelby.
I'm Sam.
It's the Rom Complex. One, two, three, four.
Oh, I'll meet you at the meet cute wearing a meat suit. That's a suit, it's made out of meat and you. And me and me and you. Meat suit.
Rom Complex.
I guess I'll just leave.
Sorry,
with my tears.
I really didn't know how to transition out of that.
It's okay.
My other idea was to start crying. And I was like, I can't.
Oh, you should have. That would have made me feel seen.
I'm already overcoming a cold. If I cried, I would just have like a torrential downpour of mucus out of my nose, my mouth, my eyes.
Your eyes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just lots
your
of
ears,
it,
so maybe.
Probably.
Maybe something out of your fingertips. Who even knows? Anything is possible.
Anything's possible. Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't make you feel seen.
It's okay. I'll talk about it in therapy. We'll get over it.
We're having our conflict moment, much like Mary-Kate and Ashley in this last Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie we're talking about for Mary-Kate and Ashley March.
Hell yeah. We are talking about 2004's New York Minute.
This is the most, I guess, mature iteration of the Olsen twins that we've watched for this.
This is the last movie they did together.
Oh, wow. Well, the characters are very different. And like part of the plot of the movie is how different they are. They have different styles and they don't even get along, which is not something we saw in any of the other movies we watched. Of course, we didn't watch all of the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. So,
of course.
Like, you know, but you can see how things have changed from winning London when they did every single scene together to this.
Yeah. Or in Passport to Paris when they were all, they were both the same person.
Right. So that's the one I meant. That's the one I meant. Passport to Paris. Okay. Thank you, Sam. You're always here to rescue me.
Winning London, they were separate. They were different, but they also like still got along really well. So this is like, you know, the progression. This is the evolution of the Olsen twins. In their final movie. I always think that's kind of sad that this was their last one. That this was their last one.
Not a fan, Sam? We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
So in this movie, they're 17, mm-hmm. and we've got Ashley playing Jane, who mm-hmm. is like uptight, overachiever, going to give a huge speech to try to get a scholarship or internship at Oxford or something.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Roxy, just as ambitious, but in a different way. She's mm-hmm. a drummer. And she and her band are trying to get a demo CD to the managers of pop punk band Simple Plan. It's so funny because by the time this came out, I was like mm-hmm. over Simple Plan. It was like they were done by then. They were not cool anymore.
I was going to say, I think that's probably why they did it.
Yeah.
They were like, let's get in with the youths.
With the youths. Yeah, we lost our other youths because they aged out of our music and we refused to mature.
Absolutely not. This is so random, but I did see a TikTok the other day where this little 10-year-old kid... It kind of ties into this movie, too. This 10-year-old kid drummed along with Simple Plan during, like, their mic or their sound check, rather.
Uh-huh.
And he was so good. Yeah. Everybody was, like, freaking out because he was just fucking killing it on those drums, baby.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Simple Plan has really difficult drum riffs. But, you know, I bet the kids really... I couldn't do it, so...
I mean, I can't
not
drum.
Not to take away from a 10-year-old.
I can't even, like, do the pat your head and rub your tummy thing. Like,
oh,
I get...
yeah.
I get disoriented, so... Not just like I don't get dizzy, but you know what I mean.
She falls over.
I fall down every single time. But yeah, the idea of like having to do one thing with your foot and then do something else. No, absolutely not. It's not going to happen for me.
Right. This girl can't even walk and chew gum.
I definitely cannot fall every single time. It's a hazard.
So we're starting out the day. Roxy's trying to get to this Simple Plan video shoot, but she's mm-hmm. skipping school to do it. And she's got this, you know, method of lying.
She's got it down pat.
Yeah.
She is the Ferris Bueller of her generation,
yeah.
I feel. Mm-hmm. And also just a weird little casting choice. Dr. Drew is their dad.
Dr. Drew is their dad. I was wondering, I was like, this guy doesn't seem like an actor.
He's not. He's a doctor, Shelby.
Well, he doesn't seem like that either.
No, you're right. You're very right.
So Roxy is giving Jane a ride to the train station. They're both going into New York City. They're from like the Long Island suburbs or something. They're going into mm-hmm. the city. Roxy is being pursued by mm-hmm. a truancy officer, which, first of all, are they real?
I was going to say, I was like, I don't think that's a real job.
Never heard of it in real life, only in movies and TV mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Like, can you actually get in trouble for, like, I know you can get in trouble for skipping school by, like, your parents.
Well, they were making fun of the truancy officer, right, in the beginning. When he first shows up, mm-hmm. he's, like, getting some kids in trouble. And the police officer who shows up to take the kids to school is like, no one takes you seriously, and this is why. Because you're so obsessed with just, like, sending kids to school.
Yeah.
And where they get, like, you know, detention.
Yeah, super weird. I mean, but it is Eugene Levy, so yeah, I'll allow it.
Right. And we don't see him and Roxy interact at all before mm-mm. this. Roxy doesn't know he's on her tail. But apparently this has been going on for years
mm-hmm.
that he's been trying to catch this girl in the act of skipping school.
Yeah. And she's always slipped right out of his fingers.
That's right, Sam.
Every time.
Now, we're 5 minutes into the movie. Jane has been in a scene where she's just naked or in a towel twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
Already? Wait.
Already.
I know the one scene she's in the shower.
Before that, it opens with a classic 2004 dream sequence. And oh, she is yes. naked in front of her audience when she's giving a speech.
Yes.
Almost the next scene, she's in the shower. Is this the last time we see her in
half
a
naked?
Towel or a robe post-shower or
no.
naked? No. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Mm-hmm. We should have like an official towel counter or something like that. Like a ding.
Here's why I noticed this so much.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it happened twice in the 5 minutes.
First 5 minutes, yeah.
And these are 17-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how weird people were about these twins.
Yes, we do.
And this movie came out the month before they turned 18.
Yep.
It just came
off. Is it the Olsen twins that they used to have that counter, the countdown
yeah.
clock?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And to me, it's just someone decided to make a movie where they're putting a 17-year-old in multiple scenes where they're naked or in a towel. And, like, you know, maybe they weren't thinking of that. Maybe they was just like, oh, it's a fun thing, or they adapted something else. But, you know, there were a whole bunch of adults involved in making this movie, mm-hmm. and they were all like, this is a great idea to do yeah. this. And it's just, it's weird to me. Like, why would you choose to do that? Why would you be like, oh, we've got the Olsen twins. They're 17. I know what we should do.
Put them in a towel.
Put them in a towel. What?
Get them naked, baby.
Now, and the reason that this is so upsetting to me is because we know that there's no way child actors are treated well in, like, the industry.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't have parents who are really able to protect them. Mm-hmm. So, because a lot of times those kids' parents are taking advantage of them as well. And I just, based on the little I know about Mary-Kate and Ashley, I feel like they did not have someone taking care of them in the way that they needed.
Probably not. I mean, when you start that young too, it's like, at what point does everything become normal? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
when they first started acting, when they were literal infants, like, maybe their parents were very like,
yeah.
oh no, we have to do this and we have to do it. And then it's like, you kind of get numb to it at a certain point and you're just like, oh yeah, that's normal, but it's not. Like, guys, they're still 17. Like, they're babies. They're children.
Yeah. And I know, like, people would be like, oh, that's just fun. It's just a fun scene. Nothing, like, sexual happens or anything. And it's like, yeah, but, like, what are the odds that they're just naturally so many scenes?
Right. Where, of, like, all the different things you could have done.
Right.
Like, the snake coming into the shower could have been just her brushing her teeth. And the snake comes in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, into the bathroom while she's brushing her teeth. Yeah.
Right. Or, like, she opens one of her clean little drawers and there's a snake pops out or something. You yeah. know, like, there's so many other things that could have been done. So it is weird that they chose to do it not once, but twice in the first 5 minutes.
And then again later. So.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, we'll get to later. We're at 2 official towel counts.
Yeah.
So keep that counter running, folks.
They get on this dang train. Roxy, of course, doesn't have a ticket and, like, mm-hmm. has this whole, like, well, okay. Despite these girls having seemingly nothing in common, the one mm-hmm. thing they do have in common is no respect for other people's personal space. Because mm-hmm. Jane is on the train just, like, blowing up her neck pillow into the face of the person next to her. Mm-hmm. And then Roxy is just, like, leaning over people, throwing shit everywhere, like, moving around with her drumsticks all crazy. And they just don't give a shit about the people around them. And honestly, I think this is what people think about when they think about white women. And this is what, like...
And in this essay, I will... That's so funny, but very true, honestly. I mean, there's even a point where that guy sitting next to Jane is like, do you want to sit next to each other? Because he wants to get the fuck away right. from these two. And they just are like, no, it's fine. Let's keep you in the center. And it's like, okay, well, we are on public transportation, babe. Like,
yeah,
keep it in check.
They're chatting. The twins are chatting over this guy's lap. And Jane is talking about how if she does well at the speech or whatever, it gets this position, you know, she'll get to go to Oxford. Right. The fellowship. Mm-hmm. And Roxy is like, why would you want to go all the way there? And mm-hmm. Jane is basically like, to be far away from you. I'm sick of you. You know,
I wish they acknowledged more of, like, their own canon in right. these movies. They do. There is, like, a little call out to it. But I wish they would be like, come on. Like, we love London. Remember? Like, right, remember right. that time? We fucking loved it. It was so great. I want to go back. You know what I mean? Obviously, these are different characters in a different world, but I wish they had so much power back then where they were just cranking these movies out that I wish they would have just been a little more cheeky about it.
Yeah, they did do a couple things here, but first they get kicked off the train. Mm-hmm. Roxy, of course, doesn't have a ticket. She gets kicked off the train, and then the train guy...
Yeah.
The train, what do they call him?
Like the ticket taker?
Yeah. Dude. He sees Jane and is like, oh, you can't fool me. Get off the train. And she's like, no, I have my ticket. It's in my bag. But then she doesn't grab it out of her bag and she just leaves the train.
Yeah, he kicks her off. But it's just so dumb. Like, you could have come up with a better...
Oh, no, it's not
scenario.
Good. And it gets worse. I mean, this is a very silly movie.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I said this movie is so unserious.
As for like plot stuff, it's not like based on what the characters are. They just kind of keep leaving stuff places or mm-hmm. like accidents happen to them. It's not mm-hmm. like good writing.
No.
But it's fine. We're here to watch the Olsen twins, I guess.
We are here for a good time, not a long time. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. So after they get kicked off the train, Jane gets hit by this bicycle riding fellow who
is the dude from fucking Motocross on fucking Disney Channel.
He's the dude from Motocross. Oh my God.
I looked it up because I was like, I know this boy. Where do I know this boy from? Yeah, it's Motocross.
So she runs into him and they have like a thing.
A what? What was that?
They're like looking back at each other and like being like, hi, I'm so-and-so. So I don't know if they introduce themselves really.
I don't think they do, but I liked watching you pretend.
Thank you.
That was fun.
They just have a moment and then he leaves. And while Roxy is standing at the station, some guy is like, a secret deal is about mm-hmm. to go on. What we find out is that there is a smuggling of a chip containing pirated music. And the girls accidentally get caught up in this when someone with the chip is trying to hand it off. Mm-hmm. But the cops come, so he quickly just drops it in Roxy's bag because she's standing next to him. The guy who was going to get it, Andy Richter.
Fucking Andy Richter.
Playing this guy, Benny Bang. Andy Richter playing the white adopted son of a Chinese woman. He goes and he offers Roxy a ride in his limo because he needs to get the chip.
Yeah.
And at first she's like, no, I don't take rides from strangers. And then he's like, it's free. And she's like, done.
Honestly?
No, you still don't take rides from strangers, Sam.
I mean, if you're in a pinch, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do is all I have to say. Was it a stupid choice? Yes. Have I made stupid choices and been fine at the end of the day? Yes.
Sam.
I'm not advocating. I'm not telling people to do this. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying, hey, guys, just accept rides from limo drivers that you have never met before. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes you get put into a difficult position and you got to make some tough choices.
So Roxy makes the tough choice of telling her sister, hey, I got us a legit car service.
Hell yeah.
It's going to take us where you and I need to go. Does it take them there? No.
No.
They stop and they're like, the girls are like, hey, where are we going? And this guy, Benny, who speaks with this goofy ass fake Chinese accent the whole time.
So bad.
Here's what's funny is he calls his mom. He's talking to his mom. Mm-hmm. And she's like, how many times have I told you either speak Chinese or speak English? Don't do that weird accent. Yeah. It's weird.
Thank God someone called it out because yeah, I was like, what are we doing?
I think it's hilarious that she calls him out on it, but also they still just decided to do that the whole movie. So like her calling him out, it just excuses it.
Didn't do anything. No, yeah. I wish it would have stopped at that point. Do you know what I mean? Like I wish once she called it out, it was like, okay, we're dropping this. We're not doing this anymore.
But
then
no.
I would have felt better. But
2004, baby. And it gets worse.
So oh, yeah.
The girls escape the limo. Like he locks them in and then just goes and calls his mom, I guess.
Yeah, he's like super chill the whole ride, even though the girls are kind of annoying the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Because again, no boundaries, no like sense of, hey, don't be fucking annoying. And once he drives up to a place that's not where they wanted to get dropped off, and then he like menacingly locks the doors and is like, you have something I want. And freaks them out, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And they escape through the sunroof and they start a running.
They start a running. They are running through like a sewer?
No.
Or is that later?
That's later. They're running through the streets and then some homeless man asks them for money.
Oh, right.
And Jane doesn't want to give up the money. So she gets fucking slurpied.
That's right. Slushied. You're right. Okay. That's what happened, is they're trying to escape. They run to a homeless man. Roxy is going to give him some money. Mm-hmm. And Jane pulls it away. Yep. And is like, no, you're just fueling his illness or whatever.
We're all fucked.
He throws his, like, clearly alcoholic slushy. Like, they say, oh, there wasn't just juice in that.
It was an accident, though. He didn't do it on purpose. Yeah, it was, like, right. In the struggle of trying to steal the doll. Mind you, it was a dollar. Fucking calm down, Jane.
And let me tell you, Jane fucking deserves it. And we know mm-hmm. she does. We know you're a little Republican ass, young Republican, white girl yeah. going to give your speech about the mm-hmm. economy. I saw what kind of bobbleheads and pictures you had up in your bedroom in that opening scene. Mm-hmm. We know what kind of economic policy you're working with.
A bad one.
So, yeah.
So she gets slushied, rightfully so. So then Roxy has the great idea to, like, sneak into a hotel room from some old lady. Where is that lady's from? Other stuff. I didn't look her up, but I know she's from stuff that I've seen before. I just can't remember.
I don't know. But she was this business lady and she's walking. Yeah. And as soon as she walks out of the room, she's saying, I'm giving a speech at a presentation of an award later. And it's like, yeah. Oh, I wonder what fucking award
Which award?
Why would they tell us that? What movie do you think I'm fucking stupid?
Yeah, they do. They really do.
They think I'm a dumbass. Well, guess what? I am.
I was just going to say the same thing. I, too, am also stupid. So thanks for that, Mary Kate and Ashley.
Thank you.
They sneak into the hotel room and, you know, she's like, I just need a minute, like, to take a shower, get cleaned up, because her whole outfit is ruined and mm-hmm. she still has this speech to give at like 3 o'clock or something like that. It's like 3:30. It's still early in the day. It's like 11 something in the morning.
They have like 4 hours.
Right. They've got time. So they're like getting ready. Mr. Andy Richter calls them again to be like, because this is when we realize that her day planner with all of her note cards for her speech and like her whole organizational life was left in the limo when they escaped. So she gets a call from Mr. Andy Richter and he's like, I have your book. You have my chip. We need to trade off. And they're like, we didn't eat your chips, guy. Like, that's not.
No idea what he's talking about, because how would they know?
How would they know? And again, like, you could have gone through this in such an, like, it didn't need to be all this fuss. You could have been like, hey, I think my friend dropped something into your bag. Would you mind looking through it?
Yeah.
There might be a chip in there. Could you give it to me? It's mine.
Right. Just like, be polite.
Right.
Also, throughout the course of all these chase sequences, we find out that each of the twins basically has superpowers, like, or like spy powers, not really superpowers, but we found out Jane can speak Chinese and Roxy took enough Taekwondo to be able to like beat up grown attackers.
Different movie.
Right.
They're both spies in their own right.
And these are things like they didn't know about each other.
Yeah. Yes, because this whole movie is about reconnecting with your sister, which we'll get into once we get to the end.
Also, before they get to the hotel, they pass a lady who is selling copies of a DVD of Holiday in the Sun 2.
Yes. Which I thought was very funny. We see it again later when she's being held hostage. The same thing. All of these like bootleg fake movies that don't exist. Which is really fun. So they're getting ready or like getting, you know, changed and freshening up when a young man by the name of Jared Padalecki, Mr. Sam Winchester, if you will, walks into the hotel room. Evidently, he is the son of the senator, which is, we come to find out, is the businesswoman who left earlier. And this is the part that I was like, this to me at this point, the two towel scenes didn't feel weird to me. This is the minute that I was like, okay, fucking weird. Because when he walks into the room, he sees Roxy on the bed. Like she's in a robe, slow motion, like hair flip, look over, like bedroom eyes, lips pouting, like vibe. And he's like, you know, which I feel like that's the correct reaction, right? Like, who is this?
Yeah.
Then fucking Jane walks out of the bathroom in a towel. Again, slow motion, hair tossing in the wind, pouty, sexy. And then he says, is it my birthday?
Right. And
gross.
Because
this is so gross. I hate it. Yes, it's robes the, the male it is twin fantasy.
And I get it. Like, having been a 17-year-old girl, like, there's something exciting about being desirable and everything and being that kind of fantasy girl. And I could see, yeah, maybe they were interested in having a little scene like that. Like, but there are ways to do it where you then don't have your character spend the entire next chase scene in and out of a towel. Because they're in robe and towel, right? Jared Padalecki, Trey, I think is his name, shows up. There's also a dog in this hotel room. One of those little, like, Chinese crested dogs, I think, where they're mostly hairless and then, like, got hair around its face. When Roxy is looking through her bag, she does find the chip. She puts it down on a bunch of chocolates. The dog comes over and eats the chip.
Yeah.
What? And then Trey is the person who sees it. He's like, was it the chip that dog just ate? And what? Okay. And then his mom comes back and the dog jumps out the window, or they throw the dog out the window.
Thrown out the window. Yeah. Because they're playing a game of hot potato, trying to get the dog to either cough it up, or then they realize it has to come out in the other direction because he's already eaten it. But also, like, is a tray full of chocolate. Like, what? Why are you letting the dog on the bed when there's a tray full of chocolate? Number
one. Irresponsible.
And you think he's going to go after a chip and not a piece of chocolate? Have you ever met a dog? They are constantly trying to get themselves in a dangerous situation so that they can go to the vet.
You know what smells and tastes good when you lick it? Chocolate. You know what doesn't? Fucking a plastic case around a computer chip.
Yeah, it's not great. So they accidentally throw him out the window, but it's okay, guys. He's just on the ledge. He didn't get thrown from a building and perish on the floor. Right. So the girls have to then, in their robe and towel, because God forbid they put their clothes back on real quick, climb onto the ledge to go after the dog to get it. And they end up on one of those, like, window washing, what are those called?
Lifts?
I don't know. like crane lift. I don't even know how those work, to be completely honest.
It's like on a pulley? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So they end up on one of those and they, like, barrel downwards.
Right. Into a trash can.
Into a trash
can.
And
in the process, Jane loses her towel. That's right. She's naked again. In a trash can. We hate it. And they get the dog. So they get up. They're with the dog. You know, Trey and Roxy talk to each other. You know, he's like, oh, will I see you again? He's entranced.
In love.
In love. The girls, Jane finds her towel. Jane's the only one who's naked in it. I mean, and it's only from, like, shoulders up. But why is it in the movie so much?
Right.
That's just, like, I'm just pointing it out.
Write another joke. You know what I mean? Just, like, do something else. We've already done this. We can.
Yeah, like, what are you getting at? Like, what? Anyway, they take the dog. Since the dog has the chip, they're like, we got to keep this dog with us. And they go to the Simple Plan video shoot because Roxy needs to do her thing.
Are we missing something?
Yes.
They run through the streets. I know that the Bob Saget cameo happens around here when they're running through the streets naked.
Roxy goes to the video shoot, but Jane takes the dog to Benny.
Oh, yes. Yes. Essentially, Jane is like, no, I'm doing this alone. Haven't you realized that the two of us, like, you being with me today has caused all of this chaos, and I need to go get my day planner and give him this dog. So she shows up back at the plaza. Is it the plaza? Who knows? And she essentially is like, here's your chip, and hands him the dog. And he's like, what do you mean this is the chip? They get clothes at some point. Are they running in their NYC thing?
Yeah, now NYC when outfit? They get to the Simple Plan concert, they're in their NYC outfits.
At some point they, like,
change.
Oh, Jane traded her watch for those two outfits.
Right, right.
So they're running through New York. They finally have clothes again. And then when, what's his name? Andy Richter is trying to get the chip out of the dog. The dog, like, pees in his face. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. So Jane immediately grabs the dog and, like, again, runs away from Andy Richter because she's like, you're being mean to this dog. No. Right. But she didn't have the foresight to, like, grab her day planner.
No, he kept that.
He kept that.
So she follows her sister to the Simple Plan video shoot, whereas Roxy is there. She hands her album to the guys that she needed to, just exactly the way she needed to. She does everything that she needed to in her little storyline. And then she's like dancing on stage. And
she immediately gets caught after she hands the A&R guys her demo. Immediately gets caught by Max Lomax.
Right.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. AKA Eugene Levy. And he is like, finally, after all these years, I gotcha. You can't slip away from me this time, Roxy Ryan. And she's like, oh, hey, look at your zipper. Hey, your fly's down.
Yeah.
And he immediately looks and she runs away. Classic teen behavior.
Now, here's how I would have done this scene. Because as I said earlier, we have seen no interaction between her and the truancy officer.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been funnier if he was like, I finally got you, Roxy Ryan. You've always slipped right out of my fingers. You've been so clever, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I have no idea who you are. Because she's just been skipping school.
Like, I think it's established that she does know who he is, like on site. But you're right. It would have been funnier if at the very beginning of the film, we see that he is hunting her, but she is like oblivious to all of it. And then she sees him and is like, hi.
Who are you? Right.
Are you a fan? Do you want an autograph?
And there's a part where there's like, we see the inside of his place and there are like articles on the wall that say like, truant Ryan escapes at Lomax. Lomax once again. Did he write all of those and put them on the his wall? Thing.
I was like, there's no way someone wrote that.
Right. So he did.
Yeah.
This was 2004. He couldn't use ChatGPT.
You're right. It's 2004, man. It didn't exist then. So she's able to run away from Max again. She's dancing on stage. That's when Jane shows up with the dog and she's like, what's going on? So both of them are being pursued by two different people. So they're kind of trapped on stage. And you know the only way to get off of a stage when you can't just walk down the stairs.
Bomb threat.
Yes. And crowd surfing.
Crowd surfing. Okay. I got it.
I was
going to
call
time.
It body surfing for a second. I was like, that's not what it's called though, Sam.
Boogie boarding.
Skimboarding.
Skimboarding.
So they crowd surf.
They crowd surf with the dog also out of the crowd. This is where they run away and end up in a sewer.
Yes. Because they dive into a manhole.
Right. The truant officer also tries to crowd surf. No one catches him.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you?
I would catch. He's Eugene Levy. I'd catch him.
I'd be course. Like,
sir, those eyebrows deserve to be caught.
You'd catch him by the eyebrows.
Yeah. Hold him up. Like I was hanging laundry out to dry.
So the girls are in the sewer. They're trying to get to, you know, whatever street. And they're like, oh my God, we're close. And so they climb up from the sewer and they're like, oh my God, we're on the wrong side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So
idiots.
They're in Harlem. They walk into a Harlem beauty shop and are in an extremely 2004 scene, are given a free and extremely just like over the top makeover scene by all of the black women and gay man in the salon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the scenes where I'm like, yeah, this is why people don't like white women.
Yep.
So just came in there and like they're covered in their dirty sewer clothes and they're like intimidated by all of these people in the salon. Because they're, like, scared of black people, I guess. Because they walk in and they're, like...
They're so fragile, those tiny little white women. They can't
defend themselves. They walk in and, like, instead of asking for the help that they were going to ask for, they're just like, oh, never mind. We're going to go. Like, what?
Yeah. And then the owner of the salon's like, no, you can't walk out of my salon looking like that.
Right.
Which is valid.
So then there's, like, you know, a goofy little scene of makeovers and some racially insensitive wig work.
Wig work is such a great way to encapsulate that. Yes, wig work.
Yeah, lots of that. Before they finally settle on some looks that fit with the characters, and they're very happy about it. Why did they have all those clothes at the beauty salon? We don't know, but they did.
Yeah, I think even the dog gets a makeover in this scene.
Even the dog.
Yeah, it definitely turns into one of those moments in cinema where like the motherly and nurturing black women take care of the poor, scared white girls.
Exactly.
And actually show them that, you know, we're not that bad.
Yeah,
you know?
They get a magical makeover.
Yeah.
And they then have this argument where Jane is talking about, she repeats what she said earlier. She's like, I'm going to Oxford to be far away from you. Mm-hmm. And then it hits this time. I guess Roxy just didn't hear it the first time, because now this hits as like a hurtful thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? So they have this discussion of like, oh, after their mom died, Jane kind of tried to take her place and she felt like Roxy was kind of a fuck up and kind of making mm-hmm. Jane have to take that role. And so they're having this little discussion about it. But in a way that's just like, you said that earlier.
Yeah. This time she means it, Shelby. She meant it, you know. So it becomes, that's like their biggest conflict throughout the whole thing, is how different they are. And it all stems from when their mom died. And yeah, it's just really stupid. So then fucking Max shows up again, because of course he did. Max like steals, does he steal a Winnebago? Or no, does he just show up? No, he just shows up physically. So they start running. They go back to the salon lady and they're like, we have to get out of here. And so she just gives them the keys to her nephew's taxi.
Okay.
Wild. And they get in. There's also like a really stupid bit where like Max is yelling for them and he's like, stop, like Nessa, truancy or whatever. But he says it like a cop, and a bunch of, because again, they're in like Harlem. And a bunch of black people like raise their hands above their head. And I'm like, this
my God.
Did not need to be here. we didn't need it. Thank you very much.
And there's also, on the flip side, like Roxy's view of Jane is like, she always thought that their mom loved how different they were. Mm-hmm. Is what Roxy says. And Roxy feels like Jane is trying to make them the same.
Mm.
So after they have this whole argument, they kind of split up again. Jane goes to meet Benny. And
after the whole car chase situation.
Right, after the whole car chase situation, of course, with the Winnebago.
With the Winnebago in an alley.
Yeah.
I guess that's too small for
they
the Winnebago.
Get squished, yeah.
I also realized, I was like watching it, and I didn't have my phone was charging, so I couldn't look it up. But the guy, like the husband in the Winnebago, I was like, why do I know him? Why do I know him? Why do I know him? And I was trying to rack my brain without looking at IMDb, which we know is my favorite app, my most used app on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized he's fucking Bob from Schitt's Creek. It took me like a full 5 minutes to place him. So I thought it was funny that him and Eugene Levy were like together.
In something together.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, like a prequel. It's the prequel to Schitt's Creek. Anyway, they get into a fight. They separate again. When Jane is dropping the dog off to Andy Richter, he instead throws her in like a laundry crate thing.
Right.
With the dog.
Yeah. And steals her.
And steals her. And then Roxy just finds the limo.
Right.
And gets the day planner and also finds her boyfriend in the trunk.
Well, Trey is in the trunk because I guess Andy Richter stole him because he saw him around with them.
Yeah. After the Simple Plan shoot, he was like, oh, I'm driving VIPs back to the after party. Let me take you. Again, some bad choices. Not smart, Trey. You probably could have just walked. But yeah, he's like randomly in the trunk. So Roxy's like, come on, we got to get to the speech.
We got to get to the speech. So they rush to the speech. Once again, one twin has to give a speech when we thought the other twin is going to get give a speech.
Winning
just
London,
like Winning London. So Roxy goes up as Jane, is trying to give the speech, cannot. Is like saying just complete bullshit. Meanwhile, Jane runs into her bicycle guy.
Hold on. And by complete bullshit, do you mean Complicated by Avril Lavigne?
The lyrics to Complicated by Avril Lavigne, which I feel like I remember that part.
Yeah.
So maybe I did watch this at some point.
I definitely got little twinges of memory. I was like, wait, yeah. Like them crowd surfing, I vaguely remember.
Right.
And definitely the Complicated lyrics.
But the way this movie is, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I watched it and just have no memory of it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So Jane runs into Bicycle Man again. This is like the third time they've run into each other. And she's like, oh,
after
my God.
After she escapes.
Right. Can you get me to this place and whatever? He rushes her over there. She runs up with the dog on stage to take over for Roxy. Oh, my gosh. Who's in the audience? The senator. She's like, why do you have my dog?
Mm-hmm.
Max Lomax shows up trying to
arrest them. Or Roxy, at least.
Roxy. Benny shows up trying to get Jane because she escaped after seeing all of his pirated movies and music. And to solve all of this, Jane is like, oh my gosh, Max, this truancy officer, uncovered this whole piracy ring. And so he gets credit for everything. So he won't arrest. He won't take Roxy away.
It's a trade.
Right. And then, unfortunately, Jane doesn't get to give her speech.
Is it unfortunate?
No, because we know what kind of conservative politics she would be talking about there.
Yeah. Not good. Not good at all. So, you know, we have this moment of the sisters being like, you know, we have Jane being like, wow, you're really going to give my speech for me? That's so nice of you. And she's like, of course, you've been working so hard for this. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they are leaving. And the man that they were annoying the shit out of, we've seen this guy multiple times throughout the movie. Originally, he was on the train to New York where they like spilled his coffee on him. And then he was in the back of the taxi cab during the chase. So we've seen him at various points. He's actually one of the judges for this fellowship. Come to find out, he's actually the namesake of the fellowship. Like, he is the guy. And so, what's her name? Jane is like, oh, like, he finds her on the steps and essentially is like, I found your note cards. This would have been an amazing speech. I think that you would be a perfect award winner of this fellowship. Right. You deserve it. Here it is. Shake my hand. You got the fellowship. You didn't even have to give your speech.
Yeah. So she gets to go to Oxford. She gets a scholarship to Oxford because she didn't just want to win. She absolutely refused to fail.
Yeah, because that's what happened. And then we get a little cute little flash forward.
A flash forward.
We get a little fast forward to the summer. And Roxy and her band, which we didn't mention, was like Jack Osborne is in her band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for fun.
Why not?
For shits and gigs. He's like their producer or manager. I don't know. He's not in the band. He's just doing the business stuff, I guess.
Have you watched his ghost hunting show?
He has a ghost hunting show?
Oh, my God, Sam. Cover your bases. What are you doing?
I'm so sorry. I'll see myself out. I'll get out now. No, but please, I will watch it immediately after this. So they're like in a studio and, you know, Mary-Kate is playing her drums with her band. Ashley's there.
She's having a good time.
Yeah. All of their boyfriends are there. Mr. Motocrossed tells Jane that, oh, you know, I can't. This is so stupid. I wanted to vomit when he said this. She was like, oh, do you think you can come visit in London? And he's like, no, I don't think I can. I'm transferring to a school in London. I'm going to live there. I was like, one, not that easy. Two, why? Like, you just met. Anyway, so then they are like having a good time and Eugene Levy pops back in because he's a real police officer now.
He's a real cop now. And he's like, I'm here to arrest you. Or no, he's like, oh, there's a purple bug because Roxy drives a cute little purple bug. He's like, oh, there's a purple bug illegally parked, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was a joke.
It was a joke. Ha ha. We're laughing.
Yeah. And then they just jam out. And that's the end of the movie. Right.
Yeah. The last scene, I think, was probably so funny because they look like they're not really having fun at all. And you know how movies work. They're standing there. They're all dancing in the studio while the band plays. But they're just playing the guitars. Roxy's not playing the drums. Mm-hmm. So that's just like the track. And you know, when they filmed it, there's no audio at all.
They're just dancing around to nothing,
which is pretty funny.
That's what I love the most about like party scenes in movies. I'm like, they're dancing nothing. I love that. I love that for us. So yeah, I don't know. On a scale of one to okay, if you were to rank this, I have two questions. First one, if you were to rank this against the other movies we've covered this month, where would this fall?
I would say I like this. Okay, let's put it.
Make an order of all the movies we've covered.
All right. I know the worst for me is Holiday in the Sun. I didn't like that one. I thought the rest were fun. I think maybe Winning London was the most fun to me.
I agree.
And then this one, maybe. And then Passport to Paris. Yeah. And then, of course, Holiday in the Set same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that. My second question is, when you were young, circa 2004 or before, did you or your family ever buy bootlegged movies and stuff?
Oh, Sam. We didn't buy them. My pop-op would just... Have them. Yeah, he would just like download stuff illegally. I don't know. We would have burned discs of like cam rips from.
Yeah.
Like I watched like cam rips of like Star Wars Episode 2 and the Powerpuff Girls movie. I remember watching just like on a little disc on my parents' computer.
That's so funny.
So yeah, we were definitely doing pirated movies. From my grandpa.
That's so funny that it was your grandpa. I think we also did, but it was like, I don't know where we would get them from, but they were bought like for $5 off of someone. I don't know who, but I just remembered that when we would have like the bootlegged ones, they were always in a case that was way thinner than a normal DVD case. Mm-hmm. Like it was like flat essentially with just like the DVD inside versus like, you know, DVD cases used to have like, I don't know, a quarter inch of thickness. So I always used to be like, oh yeah, that's not the real movie. That's the stolen one. Right, and then obviously things like LimeWire and BearShare for music. Hell yeah. I actually used to download like TV shows on those too. Like if I missed it live. Do you remember when you would like miss an episode of television? You couldn't just like watch it the next day. You had to wait until the whole season was done. And then they would sometimes play the reruns. And you're like, it's too long. So I used to like download episodes of One Tree Hill on like LimeWire.
LimeWire. Yeah, for sure. I would torrent stuff at a certain time and... Mm-hmm. Who knows what the future holds for old shelves? Certainly not illegal activities. I would never do something illegal.
Yeah, FBI, if you're listening.
You wouldn't download a pizza.
A pizza?
A pizza. I would love to download a pizza right now.
I mean, it's like on that show Upload. They have like 3D printing, but it's food. So there's like carb and fat cartridges in those printers and it like makes food.
That's the future, Sam.
I hope not. That sounds awful.
Anyway, we did our Mary
Ashley Olsen.
I'm going to go to sleep. That's it. That was fun. I really enjoyed that little month of Olsen twin content.
Yeah, I did too. They're very nostalgic films for me. And obviously, like you said, we haven't covered all of them. It kind of makes me want to watch more. A few other ones that I remember. Mm-hmm. Just to see, or maybe even their little show, So Little Time. You know, one of the ones I wanted to do, but I decided it wasn't rom-com-y enough, was Billboard Dad. Did you ever watch that one?
I don't think I watched Billboard Dad.
Their mom was dead, shocker.
Sure.
And their dad was like refusing to date. So they take out a billboard to advertise a single man to try to get him dates.
Wow.
So, you know, might throw that on later while I'm making dinner.
Billboard Dad. But we are moving on to more location-themed content starting next month. So listen up next week to hear more of that, I guess. In the meantime, if you want to hear from us, follow us on social media, The Rom Complex on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, wherever you're online.
Yeah. And also, if you have a favorite Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie that we didn't cover, but you have some thoughts on, you can email us, theromcomplex@gmail.com.
If you really want to help support us, please do so by going to patreon.com/theromcomplex. We already have multiple posts a week of extra content, and we're going to add some more stuff in the next coming months, like watch-along episodes, fun stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and check us out, patreon.com/theromcomplex. Lots of good stuff. We're doing Fleabag for our mini episodes right now. If you want to hear Sam talk about Fleabag, trust me, you do. She loves this show. Go ahead and sign
up. You
want
to hear her cry about Fleabag? Go ahead, sign up.
If you're a $10 patron, we will shout you out here on the podcast. So let's get some shout outs there for Alex, AWOL, darlinghomebody.com, aka Nicole J, HPG, Steve Epp, J Train, Choo Choo, and Catherine W.
Choo-choo. And with that, remember to keep falling in love
with yourselves. Bye.
Bye.